Woo, the Lord is good. Well, we had a good time this morning. If you weren't here, you missed it, but we had a fun. You can get it, I'm sure, online. You can watch it. How many of you remember? God's turning it around. Amen. And then I've got something, you know, in my spirit tonight. And I'm talking to some specific people. And the word of the Lord is, very simple phrase, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, you'll remember Jeremiah 1 and 5. God told Jeremiah, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were brought forth, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So it stands to reason, before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb, before she ever gave him a name, God knew him and had a plan. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, before she ever gave you a name, God knew you. He knew me, and he had a plan. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, very familiar passage of Scripture. In the King James, he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I like one translation says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Another one says, I alone know my purpose for you, says the Lord. It's your welfare that I have in mind, not your undoing. For you, I have a destiny and a hope. You know, the interesting thing about that particular portion of Scripture is when God uttered those words to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, Israel was in Babylonian captivity. It appeared by all natural outward aspects that their hopes and dreams as a nation would never come to fruition. That everything that God had planned and purposed for them had somehow been sidelined. But it was in that place that God said, listen, I haven't forgotten you. I have not forgotten the words I've spoken over you. I have not forgotten the dreams I've placed on the inside of you. I have not forgotten the plans and purposes I have for you, and they will come to pass. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul echoes this theme in Ephesians 2:10. And he said, we are his, talking of Christ, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One translation says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Aren't you glad God didn't just throw us down in the earth and say, do the best you can and we hope everything turns out? No, God's a God of order. God does have plans. There's a systematic plan to all of this, and our lives are a part of that. And you know, just thinking about the fact that there's a plan, I was born again when I was 7 years old as a Southern Baptist boy, raised in a Christian home. When I was 18 years old, I went to a Catholic Bible study, and I came out baptized with the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. Now, go figure. That was in the days of the charismatic renewal. And you know, man, people were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost like we talked about the other night in every denomination of the world. And so as a Baptist boy, went to a Catholic Bible study. Father O'Brien had been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, got his parishioners in the same condition. And I went in and came out with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there was a man ministering who, in that Bible study that evening, who was a recent graduate of Oral Roberts University. His name was Jason Peebles. And Jason Peebles was there, and so he said, would anybody like to receive the baptism? I went up. He laid his hands upon me. And when he did, I simultaneously received that experience, but also he had a vision. And he began to articulate that vision. He said, I see a globe. And he said, on this globe are red dots. And he said, they're all in some type of an association, and you'll go to these places and you'll, establish them in the doctrine and the things of the Word and the Spirit and talked about our association with it. I was 18 years old. I just went home. Man wrote down on the 3x5 card, I see a globe. On this globe are red dots. Everything he said. Well, 11 years later, I said, there's a plan. I ended up at Rhema Bible Training Center. And of course, that was in 1991. In 1992, I'd already been in the ministry, serving in capacities in worship and that sort of thing on local church staffs. But I felt I was called to go to Rhema, so I ended up there. Well, in 1992, they completed the Rhema Bible Church auditorium. So we went over on the first Sunday of its completion from the place we were meeting to dedicate the building. And when we all got in there and were praising God, all of a sudden, out of the ceiling came this huge, massive globe. And if you've ever been there to the place, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't know it, but Pastor Hagin had said, I want you to build me a globe, and I want you to put red lights all over it. And he said, I want it to represent the churches and the ministries and the schools and the missionaries all around the world. Well, that thing came out of the ceiling and began to rotate. And of course, I knew right away by the Holy Ghost, that's what that gentleman saw 11 years earlier. And the Lord said to me, you will go to those places, not only in America, but all around the world. And so long story short, we traveled 11 years with Kenneth Hagin doing that here in the United States and Canada. And now an additional decade on our own, going all around the world, teaching in these schools and ministries and churches. So 33 years later now, and the beat goes on. There is a plan. Amen. Everybody say there's a plan. Now, John chapter 3 and 27 says that no man can receive anything unless it be given to him from above. Are you listening? So, by understanding that, I say, I cannot claim by faith what has not been apportioned to me from heaven. We understand that. And I talk about myself because, you know, where our ministry is concerned and our life and our destiny is concerned, I cannot claim by faith what has not been apportioned to me from heaven, which means the impact of our ministry, the reach of our ministry, the scope of our ministry, in one sense of the word, is predetermined. Are you listening? So I can't claim by faith what has not been apportioned to me from above. But then Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So what's the point? The point is, I cannot claim by faith what has not been apportioned to me from heaven, but what has been revealed to me and what has been revealed to you, either by revelation of the Spirit in the Word, where your covenant is concerned, or what has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, where your destiny is concerned, the dreams and the visions and the desires that He's placed in your spirit. If the Holy Ghost has revealed that to you, then it belongs to you, and you have a right to receive it. Are you listening? So, I want to encourage some of you tonight by the Holy Ghost. Hold on to your dreams. Hold on to your dreams. Those things that God has placed on the inside of you that you have not yet seen come to full fruition. I want to encourage you and remind you, Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for faithful is He that has promised. And I like verse 35 of the same chapter in Hebrews. Cast not away your confidence, which has great promise or recompense of reward. Anybody got anything on the inside of them, man, they've been believing for or looking to or working toward, and God's placed it on the inside of you? Hold on to it. Cast not away your confidence. It's coming to pass. Now, you know, as we look in the Old Testament, we can look at some of the Old Testament saints and see some of the qualities that were resident in their character that enabled them to apprehend the plans and the purposes that God had for them. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, these have been different types of meetings. There are times where we flow in the healing anointing and we minister along those lines and different avenues. But it just seemed in these particular meetings that we just needed to say some certain things as words of encouragement and impartation of the Spirit, particularly this morning and this evening. In Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had what? Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Two things we see there, faith and patience. You know, the reality is in apprehending the plans and the purposes of God for our lives, it's not always how fast you can run. Sometimes the question is, can you stick with it? And if you will, and of course, follow the leading and promptings of the Spirit, apply your faith, be diligent. But once again, it's not always how fast we can run. The question is, can we stick with it? And if we will, we'll come to the expected end. Amen. Someone asked Oral Roberts one time, they said, Mr. Roberts, to what do you attribute your success in life and ministry? Now, I want some people to listen in here because I'm talking to you by the Holy Ghost. To what do you attribute your success? They asked Mr. Roberts. He said, well, I guess if I had to just sum it up in a few words, it would simply be that I never quit. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, never quit. Never quit. Never quit. And the reality is, most dreams take time to come to fruition. I want you to turn to Genesis, or they may have it on the screen, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Of course, you know the story. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. All right, let's wait on that, because I want everybody's attention. Praise the Lord. Help her up. She got a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hey, sometimes, man, anybody ever been drunk in the Spirit? Ooh, that's a great thing. And there's no hangover. Man, we were in some meetings. We had to drag people out. Have designated drivers. I like those. But anyway, so here's Abram. God said, hey, listen, I got a plan and a purpose for you. He said, I want you to leave your father's house. Go to the land I'll show you. And he said, I'm going to bless you and make a great nation. Those that bless you will be blessed. Those that curse you will be cursed. And through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, Abraham got happy. Don't we get happy when we feel like there's a dream and there's a destiny? and there's a future. Amen. And so, man, he started on his journey. He's all excited. And then something very unexpected occurred. 11 years passed, and no son. And Abraham faced what I call one of Satan's dream killers. And that is unfulfilled expectation. Are you listening? Sometimes we have expectations based upon our own preconceived ideas, our own timetables, you see, our own preconceptions. And when things do not align themselves or come into fruition, with those preconceptions in the time that we think they should, we can become disillusioned, frustrated, disappointed. I'm not where I thought I would be by now. Anybody ever been there? Abraham was there. He was facing one of Satan's dream killers, unfulfilled expectation. And you know, he didn't hesitate to talk to God about it. Look in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Look in verse 2. And Abraham said, 15:2, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you've given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. I mean, here's Abraham 11 years later, 86 years old, no son yet, and he says, hey, what you gonna do here? I don't have a son. And the one that is in my house is a servant. And if I don't have a son, he's going to become the heir. And God said, hey, come outside. Verse 5. He said, let me show you something. He said, you see the stars up there? Yes, sir. Can you number them? No, sir. He said, that's how vast your seed is going to be. See, God will encourage you along the way just to let you know you're on the right track. Stay steady. Things are coming into fruition. You ever found yourself like Abraham talking to God about something as if he didn't know? I have. But he knows, right? So, and you know, we have to be careful. Sometimes when we're in the apprehension of our dreams, and the things that God has revealed to us, when they don't come into, you know, fruition as quick as we think they should, sometimes we can get impatient and start trying to manipulate things in the flesh, right? And end up in a mess. That's what he did later, you know, with Sarah's concubine. They ended up with Ishmael. And so it's just best to wait on the timing and the process of God. But now, here he is, 86. He's excited. God said, hey, it's going to be all right now. Let's move forward. So guess what? 14 more years passed. Everybody say 14 more years. And here he is again now, facing what I call a few others of Satan's dream killers. And here's the second one, unrelenting doubts. Satan will bombard your mind with doubts. That what God has spoken, what you have in your heart, the dreams and the aspirations, they're never coming to pass. Don't believe him. Sometimes those unrelenting doubts, that's a dream killer. And then number three, seemingly unchangeable circumstances. And notice we said seemingly unchangeable circumstances. And of course, they, you know, once again talk to God about it. Look in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. See, everybody thinks Abraham was just so perfect in his faith. No, he had his moments. We all do. But it's the end that counts. It's what you do after that. Amen? You got to get back in the saddle. Look in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And it wasn't a laugh of faith. It was a laugh of, is this really going to happen? And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear a son indeed, and you're going to call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And then, of course, Sarah had her moments. Look right next door, Genesis 18, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. And she said, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child when I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now notice, at the appointed time, or the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the set time of life, or the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Woo! So here we are, we got a man with a vision and a dream, something in his heart, God's plan, God's purpose. And yet he faced dream killers, unfulfilled expectations, unrelenting doubts at times, seemingly unchangeable circumstances. They had their moments, but guess what? You know, faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. You might have some moments where you seem a little overwhelmed, but if you'll always just get back in the saddle and come back and say, all right, I trust you. I'm listening. I'm going to do what you say to do, right? And you'll have this same testimony that Abraham ended up with in Romans 4, 18. What does it say? Romans 4 and 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, isn't this amazing? Look at the testimony of the word. And being not weak in faith. Did he have his moments? Obviously. But the Bible says, and God gave testimony because he saw the thing through, right? You might, like Paul said, struck down but not struck out. You might have some things that look like a setback, right? Who against hope believed in hope that he should become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And so forth, you know, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. What are you saying, Brother Marty? I'm simply saying by the Holy Ghost, keep dreaming even if it seems like it's taking a long time. Because things do take time. You've got to, number one, write it down, trust God's process. Everybody say, trust God's process. See, sometimes you think nothing's happening, but God has to get the ducks in a row, the dots aligned, people in the right places. Are you listening? Trust God's process. Because some things have a set time. Look in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. The Lord visited Sarah, verse 1, as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the, everybody say, set time, of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Everybody say, trust God's process. There's just a set time for things. Everybody listening? So, you remember Joseph, chapter 37 in Genesis. You know, Joseph was 17 years old when he had a dream. And, you know, he got all excited. He told his brothers, he said, hey, I had a dream. We were out in the field. We were gathering sheaves of wheat. My sheaf stood upright, and your sheaf bowed down. All of you guys, your sheaves bowed down before mine. Isn't that awesome? And you know how excited they were. And then, of course, you know, he had another dream, and he had a lot of zeal and not much wisdom. And he said, hey, guys, I had another dream. I saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. That's mom and dad and you guys. And they all bowed down before me. Isn't that awesome? Well, they were so excited that they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. You know, I tell people, the passage to purpose is not always glamorous. But if you'll stick with God, stick with the Word, you'll come to your place of destiny. Amen, and fulfillment. You know, he ended up down in Egypt, down in a man's house named Potiphar. You know the story. The Bible said the Lord was with Joseph and began to prosper him. Great grace was upon him. He even prospered the Egyptian's house because Joseph was there. Everything's looking good. In his eyes, the vision and the dreams coming to pass. Things are looking good. Praise the Lord. You ever been there? And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife got her eye on him. Tried to seduce him, and he resisted her advances. She was upset about it, lied about the situation. Her husband told her husband, and guess what? He ends up back, what? In the pit he came out of. Have you ever been there in life where it seems like you've made about 5 steps forward and then 10 steps back? Almost looks like somebody pulled the rug out from under you, and your head's where your feet were a few seconds earlier. Hey, Joseph was there. And you know, sometimes, as we said, what you think is a setback might be a setup. Are you listening? So he's down there in the prison. And of course, you know, he could have got a bad attitude. Could have grumbled and complained and wondered. But hey, he just stuck with God. And guess what? Listen, the cream will always rise to the top. Right? Don't ever bet against a word man or a word woman. You stick with the Word because you'll lose every time. Stay with the Word will stay with you. Stick with God, God will stick with you, right? Even if it seems like you've had a setback. So he's down there in the prison. You know the story. The butler and the baker end up down there with him. And of course, they defended Pharaoh in some form. And they had 2 dreams. And he was able to interpret the dreams. And to the butler, he said, "Sir, you're going to be reestablished in your place of service to the Pharaoh." And he told the baker, "Sorry, end of the line. It's curtains for you." And so it happened just that way, man. The butler was reinstated. The baker was beheaded. And he told the butler before he left, he said, "Hey, when you go back to Pharaoh, remember me, will you?" But guess what? 2 years passed. 2 years he was in that prison. And I tell people, you know, in one sense of the word, Joseph was in a holding pattern. Are you listening? Joseph was in a holding pattern. It did not seem as though anything was happening. It didn't look as though there was any progress toward the fulfillment of the dream. It looked like he was at a standstill, but all the time in that holding pattern, God was working and moving behind the scenes, orchestrating, getting, as we said, the ducks in the row, the T's crossed, the I's dotted, getting everything ready. And then suddenly, there was a change. Somebody say suddenly. The next morning, he went to bed in prison. The next morning, he got up. They took him, had a robe on him, a ring, took him before Pharaoh. Amen. Pharaoh had a dream nobody could interpret. You remember the story. And of course, he said, here's the essence of the dream. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Store up in the time of plenty so you'll have in the time of famine. And he said, you better put someone wise over these affairs. And the Pharaoh said, well, you're obviously the wisest man in the land. How about you? So at 17, he had the dream. At 30 years old, it came to fulfillment. So it was 13 years, 25 years for Abraham, 13 years for Joseph. David was anointed to be king when he was 17. He didn't take the throne till he was 30. Are you listening? Things take time. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And when he was converted, Jesus said, you're going to bear my name before kings and priests and the Gentiles. But the theologians tell us it was some 14 to 20 years later before he ever took his first missionary journey. Listen, what am I saying to you? Hold on to your dreams tonight. Number one, trust God's process. He knows what he is doing. Everybody say, trust God's process. Even if it seems like it's taken a while. You know, diamonds, pearls, butterflies, they all reach their place of beauty and perfection or fulfillment through time and pressure. You got, and they don't begrudge the process. So trust his process. Number two, trust God's purpose. Trust God's purpose. Even when you don't understand it all, just do what he says to do. Trust God's purpose. Even if you don't understand it all, just do what he says to do. You know, when God called Abraham out of the land, he didn't give him a map. He just said, get up every day and follow me. And if you will, you'll come to your place of destination. I think about Noah. You know, he built an ark, man, when on dry land, when there was no rain. He filled it with the animals. He climbed in. He shut the door when the sun was still shining. But if you and I will just trust God's purpose, do what he says to do, when he says to do it, the time will come when the water will begin to flow and everything that God has promised will come to fruition. Amen. Trust God's process, trust his purpose. And number three, trust his promise. Trust his promise because it will all come to pass. Now, here's something I want to say to you. And I want to speak it to you personally, but also corporately. Now, I told you I've been in the ministry 25 years, 7 years on top of that. So, you know, about 32 years. And, you know, talking about you cannot claim by faith what hasn't been apportioned to you. But at the same time, the things that are revealed to you belong to you, right? You know, I was just talking to the Lord. You get to a certain place in life. I'll be 52 my birthday. And, you know, many of you are younger and some of you are older. And, you know, just because you're old doesn't mean you have to stop dreaming. Abraham was 100 years old and was just getting started with his kids. Isaac and Ishmael weren't the only ones. He had a bunch after that, if you didn't know it. So the point is, hey, God's going to use you till you're gone. And be willing for that. But I was just talking to the Lord, you know, thinking about things that have been in our heart and spirit through the years. And I said, Lord, you've been so kind, so gracious. A lot of things have come to pass and we're grateful for it. But yet there are some things, personal and ministerial, that have yet to come into fruition. And I'm just talking to him about that. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, God speaks to me in psalms and you know, and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know how you listen and it comes. The word of the Lord came to me saying, he said, now is the time and season in which your dreams shall be fully realized and my promises to you fulfilled. For as it is written, the vision is yet for an appointed time. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things shall surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Now, I got happy about that. But I'm going to recite it again because I'll show you the significance. He said, this is the time and season in which your dreams shall be fully realized and my promises to you fulfilled. For as it is written, the vision is yet for an appointed time. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things shall surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Then I was rejoicing, and the word of the Lord came to me further saying, and here's where you come in. These words are not just for you. They are for others too. For this is a time and season of plans and purposes and dreams coming true. A season of restoration of that which the thief has stolen. An outpouring of divine provision from on high. Now listen, for the purpose of consummating and completing divine assignments, for the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. So we said, rejoice in this season. Stand strong in faith and decree. It shall all come to pass. God has spoken, and it shall be. Has God been speaking to anything to anybody in here? You got some things in your heart that, man, they've been brewing for a long time, but you haven't yet seen them come to fruition. We understand we have to be diligent. We understand we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His leading. But then also, there's seasons where things begin to occur. And the word of the Lord to you tonight, personally, for some people, and then corporately, I believe, is this, and I'll repeat it. These words are not just for you, Marty. I'm going to repeat that again, too. This is the time and season. Now, don't just sit there and say, no, take it in. Believe it. This is the time and season in which your dreams shall be fully realized. And on the inside, you should be saying, yes, amen, that's me. And my promises to you fulfilled. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things shall surely come to pass. Just be patient. It will not be overdue a single day. These words are not just for you, Marty. They're for others too. For this is the time of plans and purposes and dreams coming true. A time or season of restoration of that which the thief has stolen. An outpouring of divine provision from on high for the purpose of consummating and completing divine assignments. You think God has creative ways to get money to you that you haven't thought about yet? In business? In creative ideas? In divine connections? Yeah. Yeah. For the purpose of consummating and completing divine assignments. For the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. So rejoice now in this season. Stand strong in faith and decree. It shall all come to pass. God has spoken, and it shall be. Everybody say, it's coming to pass. Say it again. It's coming to pass. God's not finished with you. He's not finished with this ministry. He's coming soon, but we got a lot to do before He gets here. And you're going to see some supernatural events in order to facilitate His plans and His purposes. I believe that by the Holy Ghost. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Say, this is our season. Plans, purposes, dreams are coming true. There's going to be a restoration, outpouring of divine provision to consummate and complete divine assignments. It's coming to pass. In my life, point to your neighbor, say, in your life, it shall all come to pass.